Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hello, and welcome to Come Along Pond, a Doctor Who discussion podcast with your two bestest friends, Damla.
And Elliot. That was peppy.
It was peppy.
My God.
Full of pep. Full of Dr. Pepper.
And full of beans. As always.
Hashtag not spawn. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. Thanks.
Oh, dear. I'm so happy to be doing this. As always, I can't believe we are... I know we said, you know, last week we started a new series, but we really have started series 4, which is insane to think about. It's actually insane to think about. I'm not going to lie.
It is horrible, but good, but kind of weird. And horrible, but good. Did you have a nice birthday?
I did. Thank you. And thank you again to everyone for all the messages. Like, the amount of messages I got was a bit, it was overwhelming in a good way. It was very, very sweet. Like, yeah, you lot are really cute. So thank you. And Elliot made a very cute post on the stories, didn't you?
I did. I tried.
Love you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for answering my call.
We love to embarrass each other, don't we? We really do. but you know what? The segue's not coming to me.
Satsuma.
Satsuma, Barcelona.
speaking of embarrassing, you know what I've got?
Can't be 3 miles because they're never embarrassing. They're always iconic.
Oh, in that case, I've not got embarrassing 3 miles. I've just got 3 miles. 3 miles is happening. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Whilst we were discussing... birthdays, we whipped you into 3 mile corner without you even realizing. So
Madness.
We're already here.
Madness.
Isn't that lovely?
Stunning.
We got 3 emails selected purely at random from 3, I'm sure, very nice people. The first goes as follows, and this should give everybody a good laugh because it's a lovely email, but my God, you are going to hear the lengths and breadths of my limited vocal range. It's an email from Dylan, and they say, Greetings, besties. Hello.
Hello there.
Hello there. I've been pondering about writing an email to y'all, and after months of procrastinating, I thought I'd do the damn thing. So here I am. Listening to your poddy has been such a blessing. It's an hour walk into work and an hour back. Ubers are too expenny. Henny. That's a wrong spelling of two there, but it's fine. I'll let it go. I'm so glad I haven't crossed the TikTok of Queen. Queen. I really, honestly, I'm butchering this, but we'll deal with it. It's fine. I'm just going to call you Queen anyway because
thank you.
Queen Damla unboxing Doki Doo toys. So, quick question off the top of y'all's heads: top three episodes. Go.
Oh God. Okay. Father's Day.
Yeah.
Nice. Journey's End.
Nice.
Oh, spoilers. And Blink. That's truly really off the top of my head because I can't. That's probably wrong. Except for Father's Day, but anyway.
Classic. I'm going to count two parts as one story just to be annoying. No, you can't pick between a two-parter.
Oh, go on. Anyway, you have to be quick. Go.
Two-parter is integral. Bad Wolf, Part of the Ways, Impossible Planet, Satan Pit, and Midnight. There you are. Done.
Boom. Done. Okay. There you go.
Done. Spoilers.
Boom. Boom.
Series 4. Finally, I just wanted to say that you're both so slay, so gay, so they, and so they. You know, as in the Dalek.
Oh, lots of love.
Big, and then, I mean, I don't even know how to, it's just the kissing sound effect. I don't even want to, I can't even project that. Yeah.
Big mwah. Mwah.
Like that. Yeah. Signed, Dylan. They. Brackets, future showrunner of Doctor Who. I wouldn't get ahead of yourself there, buddy. You got to beat me to it first. with a winky face, across fingers, and some hearts. So lovely, thank you, Dylan.
Dylan, I am rooting for you, babe.
I don't want to let anybody else down, but it's Dylan's favourite email ever.
It really is. No, the ending did make me giggle quite a bit. Actually, chuckle. Actually, scream. But anyway, we move.
Our next one is from Ollie and. They say, Hi, I'm Ollie, I'm 23, a neurodivergent non-binary person from the north of England, because lots of planets have the north.
Hey.
I found your podcast on TikTok after looking up something, and I fell in love with how genuinely you love your content and the subject of your discussions. Thank you. I had a particularly tough time during the late Matt Smith, early Peter Capaldi era, which made me stop watching the show due to trauma and association watching those episodes brought, but I slowly started watching the era that brought me lots of love with the show. I mean, obviously, not being able to watch those because the trauma was pretty bad, but, you know,
yeah.
I thought you were just kind of going to say that it's because they were bad, which they are, but that's fine. but, you know,
Elliot,
sorry to hear that.
Stop!
While I'm quite scared to venture into episodes past my childhood nostalgia, brackets past Series 5, I can't help but repeat the RTD era and Series 5, and I'm excited for RTD 2. I just want to say thank you for helping to reinvigorate my love for a show wholeheartedly. I've binged every episode so far, and I'm loving it. My main question to you would be, if you could have a historical figure in the show, who would it be? Either one that wasn't expected, explored enough in the show, or one that wasn't featured. Mine would be Anne Lister. Cool, don't know who that is, Ollie, but, you know, I'll get a book out.
Anne Lister is a massive, massive lesbian, and she's amazing. The show Gentleman Jack is based on her life. Watch it.
Well,
it's
there
good.
We are. We got Gentleman Jack. I do actually want to watch that because I like Sally Wainwright.
Oh, and Saran Jones is amazing.
Yeah, she's the. I think she's the writer, right? She did Gentleman Jack. She did Last Tango in Halifax, and she did Happy Valley.
Yes,
I believe, which is relevant.
It is. So, Elliot, who is your historical figure that you would want?
There are lots of historical figures I want, but, you know, if anybody is listening for any kind of commissioning department and or Big Finish, I do always have a script ready to go where Nine and Rose meet Napoleon at the Battle of Toulon. So,
there you go.
Commission me.
Do it. Do it. The email is in the show notes. Mine, I've mentioned this before, but Anne Boleyn, obviously.
Classic. Bit cliche, but classic.
Or Beatrix Potter.
Ooh.
Ah.
I mean, there are lots of cool historical figures they can meet.
Yeah, exactly. But they would be my top two. And I love that question, actually. I really love that question. So thank you.
Thank you. Have a wobbly, wibbly, timey, wimey day, Ollie. Thank you, Ollie.
Thanks, Ollie.
And our final email goes as follows. And I got to say, I love this from top to bottom, and we've had some wonderful correspondence with Nat before, so buckle in because it's a wild one. They say, hello. Or actually, they say, hey, gorgeous cap team. See, that ends the argument of who goes first.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's Nat again from Oz. Nat again, what a funny name. You're approaching one of my comfiest of comfort episodes, Partners in Crime. We're bloody doing it right now, Nat. Cliche as it is, the scene where they see each other through the window makes me truly happy. Upon reflection, made me think about the different categories of favourites, and it started some kind of weird award show in my head. For example, comfort episode is Partners in Crime. Companion is the Hero episode, Last of the Time Lords Will Turn Left. Dr. Light episode, Blink. Emotional Fix, Husbands of River Song. Companion Dynamic, River and Amy. Only When I'm Brave, Midnight. Interested to hear your thoughts if you on any of the categories above. I mean...
Ooh!
That,
let's go through.
Let's go through. So, comfort episode.
What's yours? No, what's yours? Hold on, because I need to make a decision.
I mean, none of my comfort is actually comfort, right? Like, it's
okay,
not,
Journey's End then. Fine, Journey's End. Journey's End.
Yeah. Nothing. Yeah. There's nothing comforting about it, because it would probably be bad all fighting otherwise. I could just watch that over and over.
Yeah. But that makes more sense, I feel like. Anyway, yeah, that's
yeah,
that
it's
one.
Quite, you know, it's still heavy. Companion is the Hero episode.
Last of the Time Lord.
Yeah. Probably same. Probably same to me. Yeah. Favourite Dr. Light episode?
Blink.
I think Turn Left for me, I think.
Nice.
Get your emotional fix.
My emotional fix? Probably Parting Other Ways... Bad Wolf. Mm. It makes me really emotional. But in a good way.
I would say either Doomsday or the last sort of half an hour of The End of Time.
I hear that. Do you know what it is? I can't watch Doomsday or End of Time because it just genuinely makes me sad. And afterwards I'm like, okay, well, I feel like shit. But with Parting of the Ways, Bad Wolf, it's like I feel sad and emotional, but also good because we have the new Doctor and, you know, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, also Husbands of River Song is a good choice because you know how that makes us feel.
Oh, for sure. Yep.
Favorite companion dynamic?
Donna and Ten.
Yeah, probably same to be fair.
Yeah.
Only When You're Brave.
Blink.
I'm brave all the time, so null and void.
No, pick one. Just pick one. Come on, don't be a bitch. Come on.
Yeah, but probably Impossible Planet Satan Pit.
Nice. Nice.
Now, getting on to the best, most favourite part of the email is that Nat says, I'm a brand new crocheter, and my very first figure is an adipose. He's basically a potato with arms, but I love him. And they have attached a photo, and it is adorable. We will share it on sock media. Keep up the fabulous work. Nat, you keep up the fabulous work of crocheting many a cute little bloody thing.
I love crochet, man. I don't do it. I've seen it like I do it. I don't do it. I love seeing crochet things. And that was adorable. So thank you.
It is adorable. And you're all going to be able to see it on our Instagram.
Yeah.
And Nat, I'll take 10. Thank you.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I already have the plush adipose, but
it's not the same, is it?
It's not the same.
But anyway, before we get into the episode, guys, just a real quick one. Patreon, yes, if you want to support the show, which you are doing right now by listening, that is absolutely more than enough for us. But if you would like to just go that extra little step and support us, go to Patreon. Our Patreon is in the show notes, link in the show notes. We have many different tiers there where you can get, you know, ad-free listening. You know, mentions on the show. It's all fun and games, and it supports us as two creatives. And it means a hell of a lot. So if you want to go to the link in the bio, that's where you can find Patreon.
Damla, as per usual, I've swooped in to save the day. As per the remit of the podcast, I think it's time that we be gay, do crime.
Yes.
Be gay, do partners in crime.
Roll credits.
Roll credits.
Thank you.
So if you couldn't tell from the, I mean, perfectly smooth, silky, sumptuous, cheeky little segue up top. Today we are talking about an episode of Doctor Who that was broadcast on the 5th of April 2008. It was directed by James Strong. It was written by RTD. And it is called Partners in Crime.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. But first, Damla, last night I was doing my job, which is I'm a window cleaner by night, and I slipped and fell out of the sort of thing that brings you up and down to the windows, and I was dangling there in midair, and I thought, God, there's only one thing I want to know before I probably plummet to my potential death. I thought, I know what the episode Partners in Crime is about. I know what Google thinks it's about. Fuck, and I know what IMDb thinks it's about, but my Lord, I need to know what Dan will think it's about.
What I think it's about.
What you think it's about.
This is what it's about. It's about how crash dieting and fast weight loss is never, ever a good thing. That's what it's about.
Nice.
Don't do that shit. That shit's really bad. Seriously. Seriously. Elliot, what do you think it's about?
I think it's an important lesson in how you just don't trust companies. Don't trust rich people. Don't trust them anything. No one's going to save your life because they don't like you. Rich people would rather see you die in the dirt than ever actually save your life. They're not going to offer you a pill to improve your life. They're always up to something.
Absolutely.
Don't trust them.
And that brings us to the health and safety portion of this episode. I'm joking.
You can be health. I'll be safety.
Wink. I have one really important thing to say right up top. Can we talk about how good Catherine and David look in this episode? Like, it's actually astounding. Like, it's actually really quite mad. Like, obviously they always look good, but there's something about them this episode.
What is how good they are?
They're amazing. Like, I don't know. I don't really know. This could just be the episode. I was going, they're so good in this. Goodbye. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I mean, yes, because, you know, I know she's good in The Runaway Bride, but Catherine Tate is still predominantly a comedic actress. And I know there are things that she does later in the series that proves it more. But, I mean, I think this episode just proves, this episode just proves that she is a acting powerhouse. I think she's phenomenal.
She's absolutely, she's 10 out of 10. She carries this thing on her back, honestly. But yeah, what I was going to say was, the reason I think they look so good, right, is because their hair is so good in this. Like, I have, so... Oh,
Ten's hair is like a parody of itself. It's brilliant.
It's brilliant. But then also with Donna, so I have a fringe, I have bangs, and I get bang envy. Mm-hmm. So when I rewatch Normal People for the 20th time, every time Daisy Edgar Jones is on my screen, I'm like, why can't my fringe look like that? It's really quite sad. And I look at Donna's hair in this, and the volume, the fringe, I'm just like, I'm jealous. You know?
Yeah. I also think, yeah, Sylvia looks pretty good.
Yeah!
She gets all dolled up for a night out, and she looks incredible. She had her hair blown out.
And for once, we're seeing one of the friends she mentioned, Suzette. Thank God. I mean, I'm still waiting on Shireen. Like, hello? Like...
yeah.
Do you think she's ever going to make an appearance?
Honestly, if Russell knew what the fans wanted, he'd bring in Shireen for the 60th anniversary.
I really hope he does.
Or give Yasmin Fiddy's Rose, a friend called Shireen, just to annoy all the people who are like, it's just going to be Rose again. Good, give her the exact same best friend.
Please.
Get to meet her.
Please. I would love that.
And, you know, have the companion called Ruby Sunday, and then I have her friend be called, like, Betty Friday. Just, you know.
Oh, here we go. Right, so I feel like this is setting up the tone of this episode perfectly, because this is just like... Because I can see why people wouldn't like this episode. I can see it. Do I understand it? No, because I love it. I just love it.
Boring, sad, bitter, angry little people don't like this episode.
Well, that as well. It's so...
People don't taste.
This is the most comedic-filled episode of Doctor Who ever existing. Like, let's...
It's fucking hilarious.
It's so funny. Like, I've watched this episode. This is one of my most rewatch episodes of all time. Like, There's episodes that I watch a lot. Them being... Most of series one, like New Earth, you know, Impossible Planet, Satan Pit, you know what I mean?
I like to watch lots of episodes of Doctor Who. Me, I like to watch Rose, End of the World, the bomb.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
Alien to London, World War III, long game. Empty shot.
Yeah.
The gas mask.
I forgot to laugh. It was so funny. Anyway,
Boomtown. The other one there, Bad Wolf. That's good. I like that one.
Do you know what?
The less funny she finds it, the more I laugh. And I don't think you've realised that.
So
you just need to start saying I'm really funny, and then I will just stop ever telling jokes.
And you'll just be silent. Actual crickets.
Yeah.
Absolute crickets.
Yeah.
So there are so many episodes of Doctor Who that I love to rewatch, and this is one of them. And I've seen it about, what, maybe 20, 30 times, maybe more. And I know every gag that's coming, but every time, without fail, I am on the floor dying because it's so funny. Like, I love it so much.
See, this has a bit of a gridlock effect for me, where I know I like it, but when I'm not actively thinking about watching Doctor Who, I kind of forget that I like it.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Then I'll stick it on when I'm kind of doing a rewatch, and I'll be like, oh, maybe I'll throw Partners of Crime on. Then I watch it. I'm like, this is brilliant. I love this.
Yeah, this is so good. And you just get so many...
Well, I could watch
many...
it again now.
Yeah, like, I could watch it again tonight. And there's just so many bits that are so iconic. Like, I mean, look, mentioned in the email in Three Mile Corner, but the conversation between the glass, I mean...
I remember watching that on broadcast.
Me too.
And my family falling about the place.
Because the mouth thing. So let's talk about it. So
So what's your favourite bit of mouth dialogue from that?
Okay, I like this question. I would say there's a lot.
Because I know mine, will it if it's one of yours, then you can go for the other one if you want.
Okay, you do yours first.
Okay, well, I'm gonna do it for you first visually, and then I'm gonna say it out for the podcast listeners because it's boring otherwise.
Go on.
But for mine, it's
that was the one I was thinking of.
For everybody who can't see this, which is everybody other than Damla, it's David going, yes, I can see that, because the way he puts the two fingers in his eyes and points is just, I don't know.
It's great. It's very good.
And it's coming off the already really funny, it's me, after, you know, yes, I can see that. Just really
it's so good. I'm just rewatching the scene quickly, bear with me, because there is, I just need to make sure my decision is correct. Hold on. I really just want to make sure I'm answering this properly, because this means a lot to me.
It's when it starts falling apart, when she's like...
No, okay, I've got my answer. Mine is... My favourite line, and I'm going to do it to you off mic.
Yes.
And then I'm going to say it again, all right, like you did.
Yes. I like that one because I don't really know what it means.
The internet. She's saying the internet.
Right, yeah, I can't ever read her lips during that bit. And I don't know. I was like clawing. I don't know what it means.
Well, so what I was going to say was, right,
Is she trying to, like, keyboard?
Yeah, the keyboard. So I was looking on the internet. So essentially what I was going to say was I love the mouthing in this because... I'd say 95% of it, I can hear. It's like I can hear them saying it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a really stupid note, but I love that David sort of stays in character.
Yeah.
Like, I can hear the way he's saying everything.
Yeah.
I mean, the first thing he says is just, you see him going, what?
Yeah,
like a
what?
Couple times.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even the run!
The Rana, you can literally hear it.
Mouthed.
Can I say what my close second is, though?
Yeah.
When she says, I was looking for you. It's the four and then the point. Honestly, the conversation through the glass is amazing.
I think it might be the funniest scene in the whole show.
It might actually be the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Come for me, I don't care.
Actually argue with the wall, actually tell someone who gives a shit. It's the best thing I've ever seen.
It's great. I love it.
But yeah, no, I like that question, though, because there is a lot of lines. It's like on TikTok when you can rate the lines of, like, a popular thing. It's like that. I love that. But yeah, you just get all these moments that are just so iconic, like that.
And Donna is... She's doing the thing. She's like a private investigator.
Yeah.
She didn't rest on her laurels. All right, granted, she didn't go travelling, whatever she said she was going to do, but she's... doing the thing. She's become basically an alien private investigator.
She's BTEC Sarah Jane.
Yeah. And all this talk about spin-offs. Where's my Year of Donna Noble?
Yeah, what the
Where
heck?
Where she's just investigating crop circles and...
Going to Egypt.
Bees disappearing.
Like...
Yeah. Going to Egypt.
I truthfully, right, something I want to touch on, because you've said it and it's perfect segue, is when it comes to the way Donna is introduced back into the series, because there's a way you could have easily messed it up. Russell, I'm talking to you. You could have easily messed it up, hun, but you didn't. You did a really good job. It makes sense because she says that when she leaves the doctor, she's going to go traveling, she's going to see the world, whatever. But reality is a thing. Like we say, we do things in the moment, especially me with my issues I have. I'm always like, you know, oh my God, I'm going to buy all these things. I'm going to start a new hobby. And then the next day I'm like, why did I do that? I can't be arsed now.
You know, we'll get to her later in the episode, but I just imagine with a mother like Sylvia, it's probably quite hard to do anything.
She's very demotivating. I will say this, one of the most relatable parts of this episode and of the show ever is Donna just sitting there and listening to her mum complain at her. And she's just sipping her tea and she's literally, she's not even rolling her eyes. She's just sitting there looking into space.
Disassociating.
It's amazing because it's so relatable.
And I know people have a problem with Sylvia, but I mean, I think in that scene, Loki, camp icon. She's fierce.
I love Sylvia because she's very realistic. And you know that she changes as the series goes forward. Yes, there's a lot of things she does that I don't like, obviously. But I think you can't always have the most supportive parents. Or you can't always have a Jackie. Do you know what I mean? You can't just have a replica of Jackie every series. It's not going to work. Or a replica of Francine. Do you know what I mean?
They're all very realistic. They have a lot of really strong writing around them, I think. You know, but even Jackie obviously starts off understandably being very frosty in series one. It's only really, I think, you know, the moment where she probably gains any kind of respect for the Doctor is probably the end. It's probably, you know, the fact that he sends Rose home.
Yep.
In Badville Parting of the Ways to save her. So I think, you know, maybe if we got more series with them, because I mean, Francine's only in one other episode, right? And Sylvia's only in, she's in The End of Time. But there's not enough time with them for them to have kind of progression beyond being sceptical of the Doctor.
Yeah, I think in terms of, like, for example, Turn Left, which obviously we'll discuss when we get to the episode. I'm not trying to, you know, talk about Turn Left in this episode. But, like, I think the way Sylvia's explored in there is also really interesting. And we'll talk about it when it comes to it. But yeah.
And like some people just have those parents.
Yeah.
Not saying it's good, not saying it's bad. Some people do have those parents.
Yep. And I think Sylvia's definitely a product of her generation. And
yeah. And probably her parents.
Yeah. And also, you know, she did lose her husband.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that that's an excuse, but grief does change people. So let's not forget that.
But speaking of camp icons...
Yeah.
Sarah Lancashire.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I want to be her.
I mean, it's so weird to hear her doing a sort of posh accent, but yeah. It's Sarah Lancashire. And just watch Happy Valley.
She's very, very, very good at doing everything. And what I mean by that is she can do serious, she can do comedy, she can do musical. She was in Everybody's Talking About Jamie, you know.
Mm. She's brilliant. I do love it. And again, I mean, you know, Happy Valley, you know, I mean, it's kind of, you know, obviously like a lot of those things, it's propaganda, but, you know, it's a very interesting drama and she brings so much warmth and humanity to that character because she is very good at, like you say, doing comedy, but doing drama and being very human. I do love Sarah Lancashire.
I'm just checking if she was in that movie because I don't want to, no, she was. Okay. Something I actually want to watch her in though, I get her
confused with the woman who's in Midnight.
So do I, because they look quite similar. Sorry, no offense, but they do.
Yeah.
And they have the same hairstyle. So there you go. But yes, she is hilarious. And something that lives rent-free in my head is her floating in midair in that beam. It's so funny.
She's got a sonic pen.
Right. Do you remember being able to buy the set of the sonic pen and the sonic?
I feel like I had a sonic pen.
I didn't.
But I don't know if I did. But I feel like I did, but I don't know if I did.
I mean, obviously, it's one of the more weirder toys that Character Options have brought out. But also, you know what? I'll buy a Sonic pen.
Yeah,
sure.
Give me one now.
It's just so camp and so silly, and it makes so much sense. It just makes so much sense. And, oh, I don't know, man. This is just... Look. Elliot, we're quite similar in our taste in comedy, I would say.
Yeah, broadly.
Like, we like silly comedy. We like silly humour. Like, we love Miranda Hart. We love the Miranda TV show. Because it's not actually funny, but it's funny. Does that make sense? Like, it's just obvious comedy where it's like, I'm just going to say the word moist because it's funny. And it's like, that will never fail to make me chuckle. Like, and this episode is that.
It's a comedy of errors. It's a sort of comedy you don't really get much of anymore. You know? The very easy physical comedy of Donna popping her head up from a cubicle whilst Tennant sat down in it, and then as soon as she goes, he pops his head up. It's just good. It's good, classic, easy comedy.
But then can we discuss, so going from the comedy, we've talked about this before, Russell T Davies is a genius. Russell T Davies is an absolute mad genius, and his writing and the way he can make a story arc go from like over multiple episodes and how he weaves things into things is just... perfect.
This is fucking stacked.
Yep.
With plot lines.
So you've got, so the fact they keep missing each other, you think it's supposed to be funny. It actually plays in to the entire Dr. Donna thing within the series. It's mad.
Yeah.
You know, oh, she's parked her car and then the TARDIS lands. Yeah, no. All of that. It's the prophecy. The prophecy is being told. You know,
you got that. You've got the taxi cab has the Atmos sticker in the window.
It does. Yep.
The bees are disappearing.
The bees are disappearing.
Their home planet's been stolen.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, the big one at the end.
Miss Rose Tyler, which, can we save that? Because I have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, because we'll get to it. Because I can't just mention that in a bullet point list.
No, that she needs her own section, my God. But then also, one... The main one I want to we're going to talk about it. Making Wilf Donna's grandfather was a stroke of genius. I mean, come on, can we talk about that? Can we talk about the scene on the hill? The conversation up the hill?
Yeah, the conversation up the hill is, I think for me, is what reminded me and cemented me that, you know, Catherine Tate is a phenomenal actor.
That scene is one of my favourite things in the show. I mean, look, their relationship, we'll talk about it, I'm sure, in the breakdown of series four, once we finish the series, but their relationship is beautiful to watch. I think it's a really beautiful relationship because he is her father figure in her life.
Yeah.
And it's a seamless transition because obviously we saw Wilf in last week's episode. And they could have just had like Bernard Cribbins as like a cameo, but Russell thought, you know what? Absolutely not. I'm not wasting this man's talent. He needs
the
to
talent
be
of Bernard Cribbins, yeah.
Because they could have easily had him as like a family friend or something. I don't know. It could have easily been rubbish. But it's like, no, he is Donna's grandfather. Like, and it works. It's so good. It's so good. Oh, I love it.
He sort of goes on to be probably the strongest part of the series and the specials.
I love that man.
Me too.
I love that man.
Yeah. 60th is going to be fucking difficult, isn't it?
Let's not talk about it. Let's move on because it makes me sad. But I just love the conversation that Donna has with him. And then she's just like, you know, in fact, one of my favourite little lines of delivery, it's not a quote or anything, but it's the way it's said. It's the way it's delivered is when she's like, you know, you seem to be drifting, sweetheart. I'm not drifting. I'm waiting. What for? The right man. Oh, whoa. it's so good.
So he's like, always a man.
It's always a man. She's like, no, I don't mean it like that. Oh, yeah. Because I think what I like is I think people were expecting probably Donna to be, before, you know, the series even came out, like I was expecting it as well, that they were going to have a romance or something.
Yeah.
And then this episode, Russell goes, absolutely not. I'm shutting this down right now.
Yeah, it's a very smart move that has some really... good lines attached to it, which...
Yep.
Save it.
Yep, save it.
Their relationship is really nice, and it kind of makes you understand how Donna's probably able to stay sane because you've got Sylvia all the time yelling in her ear, but just go have a nice conversation with Gramps up the hill. Very relaxing.
And speaking of their friendship, so obviously Ten and Donna's... I mean, we'll get to Tennant and Catherine's chemistry, we'll get to it in a second, but I just want to bring this up. So the Martha references in this episode I love, and I'll tell you why.
Mm.
Ten admitting what he did to Martha in this episode was so grown of him, and I'm really proud of him, because he just straight up was like, with me and Martha, it was complicated, and that was all my fault. And it was your fault. Absolutely, it was your fault. Yep.
And Donna acknowledges that Martha sort of saved him, you know, because of him trying to save, or him not blowing up the adipose ship, and then she's like, oh, that Martha must have done you good.
Yeah.
And I even like the sort of little cheeky moment where he just kind of smiles and she goes, she fancied me.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, blind Martha, charity Martha. That's a joke.
Martha.
I've seen people, yeah. Okay, in fact, have you seen this? Sorry to cut you off. People have taken that line as like a dig at Martha. And I'm like, you've just completely misunderstood the context and the tone of voice, in my opinion.
The point is that Martha was a positive influence in his life, and then he just kind of does like a joking, you know, like, oh yeah, she kind of wasn't also, yeah, she fancied me, which is just a funny little line. And then, yeah, the joke is at Ten's expense that, you know, Martha must have been blind or charitable to fancy the Doctor, but not because Martha has poor taste, but just because Donna can't understand why anybody would fancy the Doctor.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to mention that, because I've seen people take that as a dig, and I'm like, it's not a dig at Martha at all, it's a dig at Ten, so like... So,
I think Donna's just not built for that kind of, you know, she's not swept away by the magic and the, you know, she's just...
Also, she's very much girl support girls energy, like, hello.
Yeah.
Except if you're Neris or Beatrice, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, but you know, Neris had it coming.
She did. Beatrice didn't. I felt bad for Beatrice, but we'll get to it.
Yeah. No, of course, you are a peach, fuzzy outside, going off, stone in the middle.
But no, I just think, you know, when they're in that little control room in the little cupboard and she's like, you know, used to have someone, Martha, you know, and I destroyed half her life. Is that what he said?
Yeah. Basically, because he gives that little bit about ruining her life. And then, yeah, like you say, at the end, he then kind of, you know, is like, well, it's my fault. Yeah.
But yeah, I just liked that. I'm glad that he admitted to his mistakes. I really like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's nice, you know, for all the people who don't understand Series 3, to get that kind of perspective from someone who saw him after he was really hurting after Rose, and now it's, you know, another series hence, and you've been able to see all the good and positive things that Martha did for him.
Exactly. Yeah. Listen, Martha, my girl.
That being said, I do love the shot of him talking on his own in the TARDIS. It makes me sad.
Oh my God, yeah. He like looks up and it's just he's on his own and it's like, oh, sad boy.
Yeah. Yeah, it just like pans out and I do just go, oh. Every time I see it, it's like, aw.
No, but I'm only saying that sarcastically. It does make me sad. I'm like, oh, that's so sad.
No, it does make me sad, yeah. But it's also kind of like,
bye-bye.
yeah. It's less dramatic than at the end of some, you know, like at the end of time where he's like all...
Yeah.
Not end of time, Soul on Earth, yeah, where it's all rainy and stuff. Or the end of...
Journey's End, babe.
All of the specials where he just kind of walks around just like... Ugh.
Moping. Sad boy 10. Sad boy 10.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Moping.
So anyway, the main thing, let's talk about it, babe. Let's just get into it. The chemistry. I mean, because they had good chemistry in Runaway Bride, right? Hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, amazing. But in Series 4, and it's also because obviously they've had time to cultivate the relationship, get to know each other, and now, obviously, nearly how many years later, they're like best friends. Like, she was at his wedding, do you know what I mean? Like,
he was at the premiere of the Nan movie.
Yeah, like, hello. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, they are best friends. They are, you know.
And the only reason they decided to do the specials was just texting each other on a WhatsApp group, being like, oh, can't we do more Doctor Who?
Yeah. because they are so... I can't stress this enough. I love Tennant's chemistry with all of the companions, like with Freema, with Billy. He's great with everyone. But there is just something about David and Catherine that is absolutely inexplainable. I can't explain it. They just work.
It's because it's a different type of chemistry.
Yeah.
And it's a chemistry you've not seen before.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in a lot of, obviously in a lot of classic Who, there's no romance, but the Doctor is still, regardless of their age or who they're played by, they're a sort of scholarly figure.
Yeah.
They teach and they lecture. And, you know, they can be nice, but they're mostly sort of prickly. You know, and then obviously Rose and Martha, it's all about romance mm-hmm. from different perspectives, but it's all about romance. And then it's nice to get a new, fresh perspective, which is just, what if they were just bezzy mates?
Well, I think this is also why I love 12 and Bill, because it's very much the grandfather kind of figure, like the teacher, but also she's teaching him as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's why I love their dynamic so much. Because
they kind
it
of
is
start,
different.
Yeah, as that sort of like grandfatherly figure, and then they just turn into like best friends.
It's just, I love it so much. Yeah. And I think most people do prefer having best friends. Obviously, listen, you know how we feel about Ten and Rose. We don't need to repeat it.
Yeah.
They're my faves. They are my faves. But with this, it's just, they are on the same wavelength. Like, they have inside jokes. They are... You know, I don't want to say too much because, again, we'll talk about it in the breakdown. Just this episode alone, I feel like perfectly encapsulates their relationship.
That's why we're excited for Shooty and Millie, because they're meant to be bitchy camp best friends.
And it's going to be everything. And if it isn't, Russell, I'm going to find you, but I'm sure it will be. but yeah, it's just like, even with when they argue... It's never malicious. It's always just like how you argue with a friend. Like, it's just, I don't know. They're just really good at their jobs, okay? Do you know what I mean? Like, I love it.
Newsflash, they're talented.
Newsflash, they know what they're doing because they're professionals. but I love Catherine so much. Like, I've watched all her other work and, you know, I just think she's an amazing actress. And I'm just, it stuns me and it amazes me that before the series came out, because I remember... people hated the idea of Donna coming back. Like, there was the mass majority of fans were like, oh no, she's going to be rubbish. And then after one episode, everyone was like, just going to eat the words I produced that were false, you know?
And wasn't it like, Russell sort of, wasn't it sort of up in the air? He didn't think they could get Catherine.
Something like that. I'm sure in the writer's tale, it'll confirm all of that.
Yeah.
And actually, just really quickly before we talk any more about this, obviously I'm sure you're aware because of the content of the episode, but we will be talking now because we're talking about the main plot. We're going to be so there's just a bit of a trigger warning for, you know, weight loss, body image and all of that, you know, diet culture. We're going to be talking about all of that, so if you are really sensitive to those kind of things, maybe don't listen to the rest of this episode, because we are just going to be talking about that from this point onward. So just letting you guys know. So I want to ask you, Elliot, let's talk about, and I want to know your opinions on the plot of this episode. So obviously we've got Adipose Industries, the 20th century way, or 21st century way, sorry, to lose weight. You take a pill and the fat just walks away. Just literally you wake up the next day and you're like...
And the fat, as they say, the fat
just
walks
away. I want to say this now because it's a really silly comment, but when he goes to see that guy and he's like, you know... at like 1:10 in the morning, whatever it is, the burger alarm goes off. And then he goes, do you have a cat flap? The way he says cat flap.
Yeah, the way cat flap, yeah. Same
so
with
good.
The, so the, you know, he's like, oh, you know, is there when I bought the house? I'm not much of a cat person. He goes, no, I met cat people. You're nothing like them.
Yeah.
Yeah. While he's laying on the floor, prodding it around with his screwdriver. Ridiculous.
Such a sensory person. I love it so much.
Yeah, I suppose he didn't lick the cat flap.
Do you know what I mean? I'm surprised he didn't, like, lick the carpet to taste what it could be that was walking out. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, Jesus Christ. But I really like it. I don't know, what do you think?
No, I think it's a really clever commentary on, I think, an era that's kind of been forgotten now or has gone underground, which is the fucking... I mean, honestly, 80s, 90s, noughties and early 2010s diet culture Society culture now is a lot more homogenized into things like TikTok and sort of, you know, ways to suppress your appetite and exercises you can do and things like that, rather than it being the kind of the miracle cure.
Yeah.
That was for a fucking long time. Everybody was making miracle diets and cures that were going to help you. And it feels like such a sort of perfect skewering of that kind of horrible, horrendous diet culture that, you know, they're all evil, but one of them is just an evil alien. It's a really good idea. I really like it. And I feel like you can't blame the people who take it either.
Yeah.
Because it works.
It does. But yeah, so I just want to quickly touch on, so like last week with the Van Hoffs, I think it's a very similar thing. I'm sure there are people out there who have taken the message of this episode as something problematic. And again, who am I to tell you how to feel? I can't. But personally for me, it's doing the precise opposite of promoting a bad, you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Russell casts his eye and his ire over the evil of the diet companies and the people who profit from this kind of thing. He never takes jabs at or makes jokes at the expense of the people who are taking the pill, because the people who are taking the pill are the ones in danger. They're the ones that the doctor rescues.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's not about them, you know. And sadly, it's realistic. There are lots of people who, you know, would just do that. Because it's kind of how the world works. So no, I actually think it's a very nice, very clever bit of commentary about, say, the fucking awful diet industry. Having fat people in your show doesn't inherently mean it's fatphobic. It means it's inclusive. Yeah, you're just a baby.
There you go. There you go.
That's what I got to say on the matter.
But I love, so the adipose. I mean, listen, I have so much time for them. So much time.
I'd kill for the adipose.
I would honestly give away my other kidney for an adipose. I love them so much. I love the design. I love their little noises.
They're just babies. They're just little babies.
Do you not think they're adorable? Like, adorable, adorable, adorable.
Yeah. Why do you think I have a plushy one?
Yeah.
I want an adipose.
I want an adipose.
Although it does occasionally freak me out when people like Miss Foster picks them up and they kind of squish. Because I know they are just fat. But you sort of see them and you go, oh, and then someone picks them up. Like I'm always like, ugh.
The sensory issues are just coming to the forefront there. But I really love them, and there's one randomly, but you know when that taxi pulls up and just like runs over like three of them, and it's like, oh.
Well, yeah. Those
so little sad. Guys.
Yeah.
But then, you know, their creation is inherently problematic, you know. Poor Stacy is killed. Full parthenogenesis, whatever they call it, you know, converting the bones, hair, everything into little bubbies.
I mean,
it's very sad.
I do kind of agree with Ten, though, right, where he's like, if they, you know, if you don't go far with it, it's actually not a bad way to lose weight.
It isn't, because you're creating new life
You're creating new life. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you don't want it to happen to every fucking cell in your body.
Exactly, exactly.
And I like the moment when she's explaining the full thing. She's like, yeah, hair, bones and that. And then she goes, well, it makes them terribly sick.
Yeah. And then Donna's like, but what about poor Stacy? And it's like, yeah. Yeah.
What about poor Stacy?
I love Stacy.
I like Stacy. She's going to dump her boyfriend. She can do better now.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you can always do better no matter how you look, just to put it out there, guys. You don't dump someone if they're a piece of shit.
Yeah, she shouldn't have to settle. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
you know.
I like that she's girl bossing around.
I just love her. And like, also to answer the question, the earrings do work with your outfit.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, they do.
They're lovely. But yeah, poor Stacy, that was sad. But yeah, I think the necklaces, all of that was so fun as well. Like, obviously Donna's just playing with it and suddenly the fat cells, because I'm guessing because Stacy was the closest person to her who had taken adipose, the cells and the adipose start forming.
Yeah.
And I love also at the end, best thing, when Ten is panicking. He's like, they're all going to die. And Donna's like, "Can I? What do you need? Tell me, what do you need? And he's like, Donna, I'm sorry, this is beyond you. This is beyond you. And she's like, just tell me what you need. And he's like, I need another capsule. And she's like, well, you should have just asked, mate, because I've got one here. You know?
She saves the day.
She saves the day. And that little zoom in shot of them like, smiling at each other is so cute. And
I love that, and yeah. I do like when you first get introduced to the necklaces, and they're like, you know, and it also comes with a complimentary gift. It's an 18-karat gold necklace. Then you just see that person going, "No, no, we don't give away free pens. No, I can't make an exception for you."
It's like, why would you want a free pen?
I don't want your 18-karat gold necklace. I want an adipose pen.
Do you know what I mean? Weird. Yeah. Weird.
But speaking of which, I'm sorry, we're going to have to get, we're going to have to, while we're dancing around that area.
Yes.
We're going to have to get mildly degenerate for a second.
Okay.
Because we referenced the quote about it's my number for health and safety, safety.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that, I like that little moment. It's very cute and, obviously, he's a very attractive man. He probably would just give me a number.
Yes.
It's the bit when he walks back from the printer and leans on the cubicle, which I know is something like gift to hell and memed, but I don't understand why, because just objectively, very fucking hot.
It is.
I don't know, just something about the way he looks, the sort of little smile on his face, the noise he makes and everything. I'm like, that, I'd do anything for that man.
He looks so good in this episode. I said it at the start, I'm saying it again. He looks amazing in this. Like,
yeah.
No, he is very, very, yeah. No, I agree. It's very, very fun.
Yeah.
It's very, very fun. Someone
has the nerve to tell him he's aged.
I like that comment, though, because it's always like, don't you ever change? Or, people always saying, you look the same as I saw. She's like, no, you look a bit older, actually. And she means it. And I think she means it in that kind of way where it's like, when someone cares about you and they're like, because most of the time when someone comments on my appearance, I'm like, I didn't ask, don't say anything. But like, if it's someone I'm close with and like I'm on a level with you and you go, look, you do look a little bit tired, are you okay? Like, that's fine, I don't mind if we're on that level. And it feels like that.
Just me standing in your house walking up to Joe and just going, don't you think she looks tired?
Oh my god. Yes. Yes. That's exactly
six
what
words.
It is. Just six.
Stop it. I know what you mean. It's quite, it can hit as well. It can hit quite hard.
Because I feel like we've been jumping all over, and it feels like the episode is just jumping here, there, and everywhere, and it's amazing.
We are jumping around.
We are. Yeah. I love that Donna actually has the bronze in this episode. She's got the bronze.
Mm.
Because she hangs on to that bloody thing.
Yeah, her... Donna's upper body strength is unparalleled.
Should have stayed at home. It's all your fault.
Like that is, yeah, it's astounding how long she's able to hang on to that for.
She has got the bronze.
She's hanging on there for ages, and she's gonna fall. But even then, she doesn't want to be grabbed by the legs by the doctor.
Yeah, she's like, get off.
She's like kicking him to get him away.
Oh, I just love how the whole thing's rounded off. And then you get like Penny coming in as well, like in the room, all tied up. I mean, obviously Penny was going to be...
the companion.
More. Yeah, she was going to be the companion, which we will touch on when we talk about The Writer's Tale, I'm sure. Yeah. But yeah, she was hilarious. Like, the bit in the toilet? Oh my God. That bit is actually scary. I mean, she's like, I know you're in here, so you might as well just come out. I'm not a very patient woman, so out you come. And then they're just kicking down the doors and Donna's just sitting there like... oh, they're going to get me. And then, no, they get Penny because they have no idea that Donna's there.
And Penny's used a great comedic effect. Yeah, the doctor unties her and they run away. And then, just as she gets up to leave, Miss Foster comes in the room and it's like, tie her up.
Well, no, because the doctor gave her plenty of time to get out. Like, she could have got out and been safe. But she's like, no, I'm going to do my job and get all the paperwork. And then she's like...
oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, she's doing... yeah, she's still looking for evidence.
Tie her up.
And then at the end, she lumbers out the building and is still tied to the chair.
Amazing. Incredible.
And there's that line where the doctor's like, you're a journalist, make it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Do we now touch on the closing section of this episode? Because this whole last 10 minutes, is it the last 10 minutes? Last 5-6 minutes is brilliant.
Honestly, from the moment they run away, it kind of just is like, just perfect from there. I could have stopped making notes. Because it was just good to watch. The piece of music that plays when they run away, which is called Corridors and Fire Escapes by Murray Gold, is amazing.
It's just so good. And I'd say for me, when Penny comes out of the building, tied to the chair, and Donna's like, some people just can't take it. And some people can. From that point onward, it's actually perfection, like pure
yeah
perfection.
Yeah. What's the one when they're, it might be when they're running away and she's saying things really quickly. Oh no, it's when they get to the roof, isn't it? And Donna's like, yeah. I was like, well, yeah, I believe it all now. Crop circles,
yeah.
Alien abduction. She's like, yeah, I go over the doctor. It's like, except of course that Titanic flying over Buckingham Palace, because stay on me, that's gotta be a hoax.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just Catherine's delivery.
She's so good. But then also, after the bit I said, when she goes, so then, TARDIS, come on.
TARDIS.
And then just like
I love
grabbing
the,
him.
The roles. The roles are reversed, you know.
Yeah.
He's not doing this kind of mysterious, you know. It's not like in fucking Smith and Jones.
Yeah.
Where, you know, he's enigmatically wandering around trying to sort of lure Martha to be like, oh my God, what's the TARDIS? It's just Donna having to like physically drag him towards the TARDIS.
Planet of the Hats, she's ready.
She's already packed.
Her packing is me, because anywhere I go, I have to have everything covered. Everything.
And it also answers that, you know, because you don't see any of the other companions pack. You sort of see Rose, you know, will come back with washing and she'll have, like, big rucksacks and stuff on. But, you know, Martha obviously was just limited to her one outfit.
God, let's not go into that again, please.
You know, she's packed. It sort of reminds me of, you know, the Christmas Invasion where Jackie's walking with all the bags of food.
Yes.
It like lumbering towards the TARDIS. It just reminds me of that.
But more organised. And that's why she has like big fluffy coats just ready to go. Planet of the Snow, she's ready. Do you know what I mean? But I just love how she's got everything in her car and they have that lovely conversation. Of just like, you know, I just want a mate, you know? I don't need...
You just want to mate.
I just want a mate. Well, you're not a mate with me, Sunshine.
Mate with me, Sunshine.
Oh, it's so good. She's like, well, that's all well and good because you're just nothing. Just nothing, you know?
She goes to say like long streak of piss and then sort of cowards out.
Yeah.
She just goes, you're just a long streak of nothing.
You know, alien nothing. But anyway, we'll get to that maybe later. Who knows?
It just gives me a lot of energy of, you know, listen here, you great big
thing.
Whatever you are.
I know a spider's just a spider. And an axe is an axe. It's very that. No, it is very that, isn't it? It's like the same intonation. Yeah. But then you get just this. Okay. This scene shifted the tectonic plates of the Earth. Is that the correct saying? I don't know. But it shifted something in the Earth's atmosphere. Okay.
Yes.
When Donna has to leave the car keys. I mean, look, the doctor could have just popped her home to give her the car keys and then she could have gone. But that's a technicality. It makes the episode less fun.
But they also feel like Donna being like, I've got the keys. And then her just kind of running off to go give the keys back to Mum. I can almost hear there being a scene where, you know, she doesn't need to, and he's trying to get her to stay, and she's kind of walks off and he goes, Donna, as he runs towards the camera. You know, she's probably just like, oh, I've got to give the keys back, and then just walks off before he can do anything. That's my headcanon for it anyways, why they don't use the TARDIS.
But she needs to give her keys back to her mum, so she puts them in the bin, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
She's like, I've got to go. Yeah. Really got to go.
Yeah. And like, and obviously Sylvia's trying to be like, but there was a spaceship and there's all these things. She's like, oh, I know, crazy. Wow.
Yeah, mad. Anyway, whatever. And then she has to give the keys to a random blonde woman.
Yeah, well, she puts them in the bin and then has to tell the random blonde woman that the keys are in the bin.
Yeah, yeah.
When Sylvia comes,
And it's only bloody Rose Tyler in it.
She's got her face turned away from the camera for that whole time.
The way I knew it was her, though, because I know Billy Piper.
Come on. Yeah.
Because, obviously, when this first came out, we both watched it on broadcast, and I remember when this happened, I think I cried. I honestly think I shed tears because I love her so much and she means so much to me.
You have no memory of it.
I have memory of it because I actually screamed the house. I think my mum and dad had to tell me off for being so loud because I was crying and screaming because that character. Yeah, literally. That character means so much to me. And
I mean,
having
it's
her
still
back.
Fucking, a little bit of Doomsday plays.
A little bit of Doomsday. She turns around with that weird little clip hairstyle she's got going on. I don't understand. Anyway, and then she turns, walks away really dramatically and fades away, and it's like, right, I see, here we go.
Because I think last time I was doing my rewatch, I do think I messaged you when I was doing my yeah, before this, and I was like, I forgot about them. So I remember all of the bits that she's in series four, like in Midnight and things like that, but I sort of remember them being cameos, and I'm watching Partners in Crime, and suddenly she's just there.
Yeah.
Full-fledged in an episode. It's, oh my God.
It's honestly so good. It's honestly such a good moment. And I just remember, again, watching it at the time. Sorry, I told you this was going to be a moment. I need to discuss this. I remember when I was watching it the first time on broadcast, and I was just thinking, go with her. You know, well, obviously we didn't know that she knew at the time, but like,
yeah,
why aren't you going to find him? Oh my God. You know, she's back. Oh God, but why is she fading away? And then you realize, obviously, it's because you can't mess with the timelines too early. It's too early. Oh my God, I just love it. I'm sorry. It's the way she turns around and she just walks away with her hips kind of swaying as well. And you're like, ooh,
yeah, she's
Billy.
Like catwalking away. Yeah.
She looks so good. And she's like, I know I look good. And I know you all want me back. And I know you all love me. And I'm here to serve the word I'm not going to say because I can't be asked to bleep it out. You know? But, oh my God, I'm sorry. She really just was there for 20 seconds and was like, I'm about to eat up this whole scene. I'm sorry, I just love it. I love it. And then you get another amazing scene just afterwards where Wilf is... Obviously, he misses the ship before, which is hilarious.
Which is hilarious, yeah.
It's so good.
Facing the complete opposite direction. Also, by the way, just really quickly, the fucking sound of that ship is...
It's good.
It does things.
I like that.
Good sci-fi effects do things to me. Yeah, the sound, the noise that ship makes is incredible.
It's so good. And I love that he looks up into the sky and he sees the blue box and goes, Donna, it's the blue box, it's the blue. Oh, what? Oh, Donna, there you are. And it's him. Oh, my God, it's him. Go, old girl. And it's just, oh, my God. The way he chucks his hat in the air and he starts doing a little jig like Clive Swift in the episode before. It's so good.
I cried.
No, honestly, like it makes me emotional every time because the effect is rubbish. But I love how rubbish it is.
I'm not being hyperbolic. It genuinely, I was crying.
No, I understand. No, I really understand.
Because of how good Bernard Cribbins is in that moment.
And it's just, it's beautiful.
It's what Doctor Who's about.
Oh, man. Wow.
Fun, magic, beauty.
Like, she's getting to do what he, at that point, couldn't do, which is travel in space.
Yeah, and he's happy for her.
Oh, don't. It makes me emotional. It makes me really emotional, actually. Honestly, it really makes me emotional. I love that man. And I love this episode.
Me too. Me too.
Good stuff. So, we're now at the wrap-up where we talk about our standout moment, what didn't work, most doctory moment, and favourite quote/quotes. Elliot, as always, I'm heading right over to you. Standout moment?
It was a toss-up between two of them. I think, you know, my cliche go-to is the miming scene.
Of course. I was going to do it too, but I decided to be different.
Because it is fantastic.
Yeah.
And probably the best part of the episode. But I'm going to be different, and I'm going to say it's the scene when they get to the TARDIS and Donna is just presenting all of the clothes that she's packed. Specifically, there's that one cut where sort of David has, every, you know, she's like given everything to 10, and then it cuts to her standing in like the TARDIS door, and he looked really sad with like the big holdall under his arm, just like standing with the suitcase. And like, it's... I know why he's sad. It's because they're going to talk about Martha, but I like the first kind of comedy of that cut where it looks like he's just depressed about the fact that he's like being handed all this packing
stuff.
And he's just like, I don't want to carry it. Just really makes me laugh. And obviously their chemistry is amazing. So I love that scene.
It's amazing. Mine.
What about you?
I was struggling. And like I said, I was going to do the conversation through the glass, but I want to be different as well. We're not always different, but we like to be different sometimes. And today is one of those days.
Like, the whole episode could be a stand-up moment.
Honestly. Donna and Wilf's conversation up the hill, the first main conversation, I love it so much.
That is good. Because, I mean, Wilf then at the end being so happy to see Donna, Flyaway could be like another one for me easily.
So I'd say, do you know what? I'm going to combine those two.
Nice.
All the hill scenes, up the hill scenes.
Go on, girl.
Go on, girl. And go on, girl. Tell me what didn't work for you in this episode.
Also a cliche, but genuinely, I don't think anything didn't work for me.
Yeah, me too. I'm so glad you agree. I have nothing. I have question mark, cricket, nothing.
Yeah, I don't, you know, there's nothing, yeah, that I can objectively put out, you know. Well, some of the effects are dated, but so what? It's old Doctor Who. Like, there's nothing from a script or writing or character perspective that doesn't work for me in this.
It's just good. It's good. And there's, and again, I've had episodes where I've rated them quite low, but I've also had nothing wrong with them. It's just the I just couldn't find anything that didn't work. It's just the whole thing itself didn't 100% feel it. So sometimes it's not just because there's nothing because it's perfect. Sometimes there just isn't anything. You know, our own format troubles us. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, most Doctor-y moment.
There are lots. He's very on form in this, but I think it's trying to save Miss Foster. Knows what's going to happen to her. She's killed some people, but he's going to save her. Well, no, actually, she has a comedy. Oh, and then falls to the ground. But
screaming.
But he tries to save her.
No, I agree. I think that's very Doctor-y. Mine is the Doctor assuming Donna wouldn't be able to help. And just being like, oh, this is beyond you, whatever. And then, again, being wrong. Because it's like, just say what you need. And that goes for everyone out there. Don't keep it to yourself. Ask for help.
Say what you need. Bowl of soup. Paracetamol.
Vitamin D, vitamin E, vitamin C.
Bowl of soup and a ham sandwich.
Do you know what? I think it was in our Christmas Invasion episode. Definitely had to be. But when you repeat Jackie's lines, that lives rent-free in my head when you're like, vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin E.
Yeah, no.
Anyway, so speaking of that, favourite quote from Partners in Crime?
Because all I remember is too much of me going, oh, Satsuma, that's all I really remember.
It's very good, though.
Yeah, God. I think basically we said all of mine anyway, so I'm just going to reiterate some good ones.
Go on.
Just going to happen. But yeah, I love the I love my number for health and safety. You'll be health, I'll be safety.
Yeah.
Very cheeky, made me laugh. Same with it was there when I bought the house, but not once for cat person. No, I met cat people, you're nothing like them. Same with, you know, mixed change from last time, that Martha must have done you good. She fancied me. Blind Martha, charitable Martha.
Very good.
And who doesn't love? I just want a mate.
Yeah.
You just want two mates. I want a mate. You might be me, Sunshine. All classics.
It's good.
J'adore.
J'adore. Mine is, the last one you mentioned is the same as me, but I've written the whole bit down because I want to say it.
Do it.
I just want a mate. You just want two mate. I just want a mate. You're not mating with me, Sunshine. A mate. I want a mate. Well, just as well, because I might have any of that nonsense. I mean, you're just a long streak of nothing. You know, alien nothing. Why do I feel like that was an ad-lib?
Nothing. Yeah. Yeah, because it feels... Yeah, maybe there was a line there.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So good. So, speaking of... No, not speaking of, it's the end. So, what are you rating this out of 5, babe?
Look, I really, really like it. I think it, controversially, it's the best of the Russell series openers, but it's a 4. I can't pick out any flaws, but it doesn't speak as a 5 to me.
Yeah, me too. Mine's a 4, and for the same reason. I'm so glad we agree. I'd say I do love Smith and Jones. It's really good. These two kind of come... I can't... pick.
Yeah. No, I think this would be my favourite one, definitely. Just easy to watch. A lot of fun.
Because we really love Smith and Jones, but yeah, oh, yeah. I don't know.
Love Smith and Jones.
I don't know, man. I don't know. But no, they're both a 4. I mean, look, at the end of the day, New Earth is my babe, and we all know that.
They don't. All said and done.
When all said and done. But yeah, this is a 4 for the same reasons.
Well, that brings the Curtains down on another wonderful episode of the Come Along Pond podcast. We hope you had fun. We sure did. If you like what you heard and you want to support the show, you can do so over on Patreon, patreon.com/comealongpondpodcast. At the moment, when we are recording this, we still only have the one tier. It's £3. It's the companion tier. And for that, these wonderful people, and potentially for the last time, get a shout out on the show. So that's River, that's Bulldozer 7113, that's Jason, that's Becca Judson Smith, that's Abby Potts, that's Jack Wilson, that's Jack Parker, that's Ben Summersall, that's Grace, that's Lucy Gallagher, that's Calvin, that's Smiths and Legends, and Maria, Sarah. As I say, they are all on our singular tier at the moment, but there might be more soon. Timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly. However, if you don't want to pledge any kind of donation, I understand, times are hard, friends are few, fucking sucks out there. But you can go to ko-fi.com/comealongpondpodcast. That's ko-fi.com/comealongpondpodcast. And you can shout us the price of a cup of coffee. One for me, one for Damla. One for both of us. Depends on who you like more. But if you want to give us money without pledging, that's your place to go to. However, you've been doing so much support by just listening to this already that you can be even more supportive by doing something as simple and free as emailing. Like Nat, like Dylan, like Ollie, you can have your wonderful words, and sometimes not so wonderful words, read out across the scattergraphic space words. So send us an email. That email is comealongpondpod@gmail.com. Comealongpondpod@gmail.com. That's where you email. There is, again, a backlog at the moment. So apologies if you're thinking, I sent an email and we haven't read it out. We are doing our best. We're doing our best. And that's all anybody can ask. Anyway, if you want to support the shows in other ways, you can do that by heading to places like TikTok, tiktok.com/comealongpondpodcast. Over there, we post funny little hot girl moments, little momos from the show, our highlights and our lowlights, and it's all condensed on the one algorithmic swiping, scrolling app. Loads of views over there, really fun community. So get over there, even though if you listen to this, you probably already heard the TikTok, because that's probably where you came from, but still worth the plug. However, your one-stop shop to get in contact with all things Cap is Instagram. Come Along Pond Podcast over there. It's the same artwork, so you can't miss us. And boy howdy, we've got some things. Reels, polls, stories, birthday messages, archived Instagram lives. It's a madness. It doesn't seem like that long ago we were doing our live for 1K, and now we're hurtling towards 3K. You can help us get there. So, Instagram.com/comealongpondpodcast. Send us a DM if you feel like it. But, with all that being said, thank you so much for listening.
It's been such a fun episode. Really enjoyed it. And I can't wait for next week when we got something special.
Yeah, it was a real special plan.
As far as of Pompeii, don't worry. Don't stress and be like, oh, they're doing something else again. Well, first of all, get in the bin because it's our podcast. Second of all, as far as of Pompeii, but add a little bit of spice.
Yeah, a little bit of shine.
A little bit of zest.
Sparkle.
The C word that I'm not going to say. But but it's special. You best tune in because it's an episode with zest, with all of the things we've said. Glitter. Just glitter. And it's going to be so fun. So anyway, before I rattle on any further, we give you air from our lungs. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye now.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
They say the fat just walks away, but I kind of took that as an instruction. I did stop watching the episode halfway through and left my room.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Think of your favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now what if we could fix it? I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.